I think the thing that when you're talking about this word for guard, there's an element where so often we've been talking about measuring an erection as a sign of whether or not a man is actually excited or ready for sex, right? Mm-hmm. And I think any partner needs to know when a man has an erection, there is a vulnerability to that as well as there is a strength to that. Mm. And there is something about us as partners being able to see and receive that vulnerability in a way where we can tend, as you say, we can care, we can create holding for what is right there in that moment. And then we can also create places to receive. So one of the things that I think is really important is when, if we're taking that guard, we need to know that in the scriptures and in my own faith, one of the things I know is I have a responsibility to guard, tend, nurture, care for what is in my garden.
Yeah.
And in my garden are my relationships, I have a bedroom that is important to me in that. And so I want to take that language. I want to take that care. I want to take that energy of guarding, caring, tending into my bedroom. But I think the way that I can actually take it in there is knowing that that is coming towards me from my Creator. Mm-hmm. That's the thing I think that is so misunderstood about that verse, and I've heard it so misquoted. May God keep you and bless you and whatever. Where did you say that was? Numbers?
Number six.
But there that is something right. in it that somehow we make that something that God's out there, that He's going to put this big barrier around us and guard us. And instead, I think it's actually a very intimate coming into us and saying, oh, I'm going to tend to that in you. Mm. Oh, I'm going to tend to this in you.
Stoke the flame of your desire.
I'm going to care for you in this way. Mm. And
I wonder, Becky, and us all, if that's less like, I'm going to do this to you and for you, rather, hey, would you partner with me in tending yourself? Would you partner with me in tending to your garden, to your bedroom, to your spouse, to your partner, to your... Can we have a good, healthy back and forth where you say what you need and I'll say what I can give? And
it's beautiful.
To me, that's generative, you know? Because I'm adding on. I'm not...
Yeah, no, no, no. And I just thought of something else as you said that is, what if our Creator, our divine, whatever that is unfolding us to hold more.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah.
Yes. Because there's, I don't know how else to say this, you guys, that's a part of, for me, God, divine, as lover to me.
Yeah.
There are times I've had to, because of my own abuse and my own pain, I've had to literally, in relationship to the man I'm with, it's not about him, my pain. Mm-hmm. It's I've had to picture like a veil of something holy. Like I've got, like I want to, I can't look at my husband's face. And that's not about him. Mm-hmm. It's about pain that is showing up. And I need God to tend me inside so that I can be there in that present moment with my triggers. And because I can actually care for myself in my triggers and not run away. Mm-hmm. And that's been transformative to me when, and that's been part of how I've had to invite God into my bedroom, because I don't want my abuse to win.
I love that.
And it did win. There are times that the abuse has won. And then yet there are times when I think I have this, it sounds so corny, but I have this incredible interior tending that God does to me inside of me that says, I'm here with you.
Stay in your body.
I'm going to hold this pain with you, but I'm also going to invite you into this pleasure.
Be present.
And it's like, okay, I'm going to trust you here. Even though I trust the man I'm with, my partner, I trust him so much, but I need to trust something that's almost deeper than skin to skin to experience that pleasure.
I love that, Becky. When you were talking, it made me think actually of the practice of the Eucharist, you know, this is my body broken for you, this is my blood shed for you, take and eat, and you take that into yourself. I mean, that sounds very sexual, doesn't it? I mean, it actually does sound sexual, and I don't know if that's heretical to say, so let's go beyond sexual even. Like, it's so intimate, take me into you.
But it makes me think of what you were saying earlier, Steve, about having, you know, God isn't out here. God is here in that. Yeah. And I think it's the more that you can start to sit and rest in the communion within yourself.
There it is.
That's when you can be present to yourself and be able to show up to the other.
Yes.
In your relationship, whatever that looks like. But I think that's where the gold is.
Mm-hmm. And it's not by taking all my pain away. It's like, oh, my pain can be part of that sacred sacrifice in that moment of, and it's rewiring dendrites, and it's like presence with presence.
Because it's drawing you deeper in. I think that's the part where you're like going.
As somebody who has a complicated relationship with the Eucharist now because of violence and blood language and sacrifice, what I do want to say is what I'm definitely relating to is the communion with God and communion with oneself and presence with oneself. Mm-hmm. And so for those of us in the world where like I honor and like absolutely respect that that is like a sacred position to hold for lots of people. It's a position I held for a long time. But it's something that's complex for me now.
For sure.
I do want to say that ultimately, like I deeply honor the idea of communion with God and communion with each other and communion with yourself is basically staying embodied in presence with the divine, with yourself and with who's in front of you. Like that is so sacred. And that's like incredibly beautiful and important. And I'm not saying that to be contrary. It's just as much as like creating
some
space. I could feel it in myself too. Like, still working through that.
Yeah.
Well, and I get that. And I'm so glad both of you said that. I mean, I think there's so much to unpack around bad atonement theology and all that stuff.
It's like a whole nother thing.
It's a whole nother thing, you know. But
it's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, it's like a different topic.
But I just want to, and I'm not trying to get the last word here. I'm really not. But I'm just saying like the sacrament of bread and wine. Mm. Bread and wine. It's so normal. It's people have been drinking wine and eating bread for millennia. And that the divine in wisdom said, that's what I want to use for you to remember the communion that I have with you is bread and wine.
Yeah. Right.
You know, that's that to me, that's sort of the beauty of that sacrament is the ordinariness of it.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to say too, like there's something healing in the way you just said earlier about bringing it into your body, like this very nourishing experience with the divine. And having it there versus like separating out that blood language.
I did like that. Yeah, bringing it into your body is beautiful.
Because like, I'm like, that makes sense to me. Because it's so physical. It's so, it's just normal. It's every day and just.
Yeah. It's eating. It's drinking. Yeah. It's taking it in. It's
eating, drinking, pleasure.
Breathing.
There's pleasure in Eucharist.